Praise the Lord. You glad to be here? We're glad you're with us. We're glad for all those who are looking in, who are online with us today. Without any pressure on anyone, it'd be good to see some of you come down and visit us one Sunday morning, those who haven't dared to venture into the scary church sanctuary. Listen, the presence of God is with us and with us all the time, and we're blessed to see you here today. We want to jump right in because I know time is always kind of the kind of maximum or minimum when you're up here doing your thing, and it gets away from you when you're a pastor preacher and you've got so much in your heart that God's laid and you want to say. So let's go straight into Zechariah chapter 5. Now let me be honest with you from the kickoff here. I read the first line of this and I thought I'm going to skip on to chapter 6. Now, you might get it straight away. It took me some time to figure this one out. In fact, when I began to read it in my office at home, Gail heard laughter coming from my office because it was like, God, what are you going on here? What is it? So listen to this. We'll read the whole chapter. There's only 11 verses in there. Again, I lifted my eyes and saw, and behold, a flying scroll. Amen. Flying scroll. Who's got it already? Who's got that interpretation? Gail shouted through to me and goes, I've got it. It's all about God. That's what I needed. That's just what I needed at that time. And she was right, by the way, in that sense. Verse 2, he said to me, what do you see? I answered, I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits, its width 10 cubits. Then he said to me, this is the curse that goes out over the face of the whole land. For, listen to this, for everyone who steals shall be cleaned out according to what is on one side. And everyone who swears falsely shall be cleaned out according to what is on the other side. I will send it out, declares the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter the house of the thief and the house of him who swears falsely by my name, and it shall remain in his house and consume it, both timber and stones. Then the angel who talked with me came forward and said to me, lift your eyes and see what this is going out. And I says, what is it? He says, this is the basket. Lord, this is the basket that is going out. And he says, this is their iniquity in all the land. And behold, the leaden cover was lifted, and there was a woman sitting in the basket. And he said, this is wickedness. And he thrust her back into the basket and thrust down the leaden weight on its opening. Then I lifted my eyes and saw, and behold, two women coming forward. The wind was in their wings. They had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the basket between earth and heaven. Then I said to the angel who talked with me, where are they taking the basket? He said to me, to the land of Shinar, to build a house for it. And when this is prepared, they will set the basket down there on its base, and God will bless to us the reading of his word today. So today, once again, we look at another bizarre vision of Zechariah here in chapter 5. Now remember the first week when I spoke about the opening scene in a movie? Well, here in the opening scene, we have the flying scroll. Hallelujah. Now, I kind of figured this out to a certain degree because today we've all seen banners flying behind airplanes, haven't we? We've all seen that. And we're used to these enormous advertisements in the sky. In fact, I've told you all before that some of the greatest posters I've ever seen are on the roadside in Ghana, as high as a building, announcing church conferences and their themes. We preached one here recently, this nonsense must stop. That's my favorite one, this nonsense must stop. And I hope since I preached that, some of our nonsense has stopped. when it comes to the things of the world. So this vision might seem not quite as weird for some as it does for others. But when we think of it from the point of view of the Israelite people in 520 BC, what they're seeing is this, or in the prophetic, is a giant billboard or scroll flying in the sky right here. That would be incredibly difficult for them to comprehend. It would be extremely unusual in this time zone. The size and the fact that it's flying both would identify it as gale directly coming from God. Spot on. Therefore, something, if it's coming directly from God, therefore it's something I believe today we still must pay very close attention to. Its length is 20 cubits, its width is 10 cubits, approximately 15 by 30 feet. Now understand, these are the accurate dimensions of the porch in Solomon's temple. And on this flying billboard, what seems to be two very significant messages. On one side of the scroll, it says, those who steal will be banished from the land. The other says, those who swear falsely will be banished from the land. Two very clear and specific sins. Thieving, theft, or lies, lying, both with a promise of banishment or punishment. Every thief shall be banished. Every liar shall be banished. Now, many scholars, and I agree with them, suggest the scroll actually contained the Ten Commandments. To steal was to injure your neighbor. To lie is to dishonor God because you had sworn by His name. You see, understand this regarding the Bible and the request for you and I as children of God. God still requires that we come to Him with clean hands and a clean heart. It is imperative if we're going to make a difference as people of God. This means that we need to look clean on the outside, but we must also be very clean on the inside also. Our outward appearance, many folks say it doesn't matter, but it does matter. Because people are looking at you and I all the time, wondering if we'll slip, wondering if we'll err as believers, wondering if we'll show up in the wrong place at the wrong time. So people are looking for a reason to criticize the outward appearance, but God actually is more interested on the inside, on the condition and status of our heart, while the world will continue to concentrate on the image of what is seen on the outer. Jesus, when he was teaching his disciples, emphasized, you'll see this, he emphasized the importance of what we are thinking and what we are feeling rather than what we are actually doing in life today. Look at Matthew chapter 5 and verses 21, 22. Important scriptures from Jesus. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Scroll down to verses 27, 28 of the same chapter. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Are you hearing this? So spiritually speaking, the question is risen or raised before us, where were the children or the people of Israel? Because we understand this, that while in exile, it seems their pagan idolatry had been somewhat cured. They'd become righteous people, following the requirements of the law, observing the sacrifices and the various religious festivals. But there's a but in here. And it might have been the same for you and I in our journey over the last several years. But for them, their worship of the living God had almost become a process. Almost like some form of procedure. It was of the body. but not of the heart. It was religion, but not relationship. And I wonder, during this season of lockdown, has our tradition, has our religion, has our routine been somewhat crushed? And we've had to discover a new way of coming before the presence of God. I almost felt God saying to me for someone today, God is changing the shape of your heart so you can engage me at this new level. And it might be for me, because I have felt an altering of my heart over the last several months, and I know many folk in leadership have sensed the same thing. God is actually, he's not doing anything really too different, but he's changing us and how we come before the throne seat, the mercy seat, and bow before him. So before I go off in one this morning, let me come back online. Now, they had been delivered from captivity and exile in Babylon, and now had been transported into the promised land of Israel. Now, hear this today, because this is important. They had become rich in exile. They had brought their wealth with them. Now, let's look at Jesus again here quickly. We'll bounce back and forward just a little bit. Because then Jesus in Matthew said to his disciples, we're now in Matthew chapter 19, I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Right here, he's making the same sort of statements through Zechariah and a contemporary of Zechariah, Haggai. Check this for yourself in chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. He actually rebuked them for living in luxury while God's house remained totally unfinished. You see, they still were relying on the ancient covenant with Abraham. They still believed they were God's people. They still believed they deserved the unmerited favor of God. And yet Paul reminds us that you and I actually are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And it's important that I read that to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Do you not know that you yourselves, hallelujah, are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives where? Inside of you. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred, and you, my dear friends, are that temple, hallelujah. So the question in here is this: are we, or have we, over this season of life, are we putting or getting our life somewhat right with God today? Or, and I see this happening sadly in the church as well, and it's something that Pastor Debbie and I talk often about, are we trying to have our cake and eat it? There's a lot of this going on right now, sadly, in the kingdom of God. Are we claiming salvation and eternal lives with God in heaven whilst carrying on living sinful and dishonoring lives while we go about our daily routines? Hear me today, God demands, this is not a suggestion, this is not a request, God demands that you and I actually repent in every aspect of our lives today. Listen to this. What is that demand? Well, we give up all aspects of wanting to serve the prince of this world, Satan, whom some have chosen to follow. We become spiritually clean and worship him not only inwardly, but be seen to be doing that outwardly at the same time. Then we bow the heart as well as the knee to only him, to the true and living God. You see, God spoke to his people frequently through these particular two visions. And what's going on right here, you're going to start to see this. Through these two visions, what he's trying to do, he's trying to correct the wrong attitudes, the wrong ideas that the people of Israel had stepped into. Look at another contemporary of Zechariah, Malachi in chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. You hear this today. I, the Lord, do not change. Amen. Amen. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you've turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Listen to this. Return to me, and I will return to you. Amen. says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how do we rob? How do we rob you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. And I wonder how many folks today are robbing God. It's a fair question. How many folks today are robbing God? Now understand this before you think I'm talking about cash today. Tithes are not only necessarily about your finances, about your money or worldly goods. Tithes for you and I today are actually an attitude of the mind. That's how this works. It's more the giving of ourselves. The contribution of our life as well as giving of blessings that have been given to you and I. For instance, how much time have you given Jesus recently? How much time of your life have you contributed to serving God, to the kingdom of God? How much of your life have you given over to Him? How much of our inner being have we laid before the altar and says, Lord, use me, take me, do what you want with me for your glory? How much of that is going on in our lives today? Or are we robbing God? Are we robbing God today? Exodus chapter 20 verse 7 warns this. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Now listen to this. This is not about telling fibs. This is not about telling lies. Right in there, it is about using the name of the Lord God in vain. That's what's going on right here. This is about not using the name of God in a casual or dishonoring way. And how often do we hear it today? How often do we hear it today? How often do we hear his name taken in vain? It comes up in pretty much every conversation out there in the world. And it should affect us. It should affect us. It should hurt us when people do it with such a casualty in the world today. It should hurt our lives. But what this is here today going on for us, this is about, listen to this. This chapter, more or less, is about people trying to bring God down to their level. Do you think it's not happening? Is it trying to bring God down to our level rather than lifting Him up high and worshipping Him and giving Him His place? Yes, we understand that He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother, but He is also mighty God. He is also mighty God. He is also the God who is awesome above all other gods. It's about having a proper respect for Him, for God, and loving Him. You see, God's word, understand this, doesn't matter what's happening out there and the kind of opposition that's coming to the church today. God's word will not be broken, and there will be consequences for those who break these particular laws, driving out the lawbreakers from the land of His covenant, driving them out from that place of peace. Now, I want to jump on quickly because I'm watching my new clock up there, and I can see it now. It says 10:42. I couldn't see it last week, and I'm going to pretend I still can't see it. But then we have a vision. This is interesting. Now, women, don't get upset with me here. I'm just going with the word of God. Then we have a woman, or a vision of a woman in a basket. And some men would perhaps like to put their women in a basket and put a leaden lid over the roof. I'm just putting it out there. Now, in some languages, understand, stay with me here. Let me finish before you fire an arrow at me. Everything is assigned as male or female. And I am no expert in these things, but I read that the Hebrew word for wickedness is feminine. It's just symbolic. Don't shoot the messenger. And this is probably why a woman was the image of evil in the vision. It's just in the vision. The woman represented here all the evil which tainted the Israelites because of their association with the pagan world in which they lived. For instance, the love of money becoming greater than the love of God. It's still happening today. Which links back into the accusation of stealing in the previous vision. Or the acceptance of sexual behavior common in the society around them. The acceptance of religious compromise. The concession, hey, listen to this, the concession that there is more than one way to God. It's all in here. This second vision is a picture of God's people in relationship with Him. That's what's taking place. Right here, it is back to God's exclusive claim on His people, on you and I. It's back to God's call to His people to love Him and love Him only. Only Him, to put no other gods before me, to declare. Here's what's happening. To declare that they worship Him and only Him. Right here in Zechariah 5, it's a call away from the world of idols back to covenant faithfulness with God and in God alone. So look at the picture again. Wickedness is pushed down into the basket. You hear this? Wickedness is pushed down into the basket. A lead cover over its mouth. What's going on here? God demonstrates His authority over evil, then removes the wickedness from His people. Amen. So Zechariah prophesied to those who returned from Babylon in these days, exile. God's people then came back from Babylon, but they came back with a materialism problem. Mm-hmm. And the vision speaks directly to that problem. Here's a word for every believer here today. And I believe this is directly from the Lord. And the Lord is saying, be on your guard. Be on your guard. Although, listen to this, although we are being called, listen, to become separate from the people of this world, we have still been called to live amongst them. Hear this today. In the midst of living amongst them, the Lord wants to say this to the church today. We still have to live with righteousness, and we still have to uphold the standards of God in the midst of trial and testing and corruption and the evil of the society that we're living in today. In other words, the Lord is saying, you guys, me, we should shine out the light and the goodness of God in a society that is becoming more and more godless. Look at Matthew chapter 5, back in there. You are, this is for you today. This is for the church today. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, come on, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven. Hallelujah. You see, human beings, that's us down through the generations from Adam, have rejected the light of God. Now listen to this. So do we give up? Church, do we give up just because people do not accept who and what we are proclaiming from God? No. We never give up. We press on. We push through. We win the battles, as Jesus said in John 3 verse 19. And this is the verdict. Light has come into the world. Amen. Light has come in, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds are evil. Listen to this. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be what? Exposed. Listen, church, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, hallelujah, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Amen. Praise God. So, Jesus is the light of the world. In John 8 verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he says, I am, not maybe, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Praise the Lord. So listen to this, guys, today. When people, when the world of this country reject the truth of the people of God, what we proclaim and what we say, they are not really rejecting you and I. They're rejecting the one, listen, the one who has sent us, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. So what does this mean? What does this chapter mean for us today? Put together, the two visions address two realms, more or less two realms of life. Our relationships with one another, the stealing and the lying of the flying scroll, and our relationship with God, the image of the idol in the basket. They represent the two things that Jesus said everything, not some things, that everything hangs on in Matthew chapter 22. How we know it so well, we hang on these words today. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Church, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Now I wonder, are you starting to see this? Can we see the vital importance of keeping our part of the covenant that you and I have made with God? Can we see that in the scriptures today? Can we see very clearly that God takes sin, every little sin like lying, very, very seriously? They are a big deal to God. Come on. Are you hearing this? They do matter. Why do they matter? Because they destroy. And there are consequences for the sins that take place in our lives. Now, here's something that I am wondering about right now. And it's something I believe our leadership should think about. This place that we've allowed ourselves to get to as the church general in the world. How did we get to the place where people conclude that either I can, listen to this, this is important for us today, I can make whatever decisions I want to, and it doesn't matter because God will always love me and God will always forgive me. We've kind of gotten to that place. Or the other part of that is this, I don't want anything to do with a God who would stop me from doing whatever makes me happy. These are massive thoughts for the church today. How did we get to the place where we think that love means letting someone off the hook while punishment means we refuse to forgive? You see, when, listen to this, when we believe that punishment and love are incompatible, when we believe, however subtly, that it doesn't matter how we live because God will just love us and forgive us, know what happens? We quickly embrace sin. You see it there. We pull the lid back. And we let something awful out the basket. A wickedness and an idolatry that reveals that we do worship something or somebody other than the God of the universe who has loved us and who has saved us. We worship our own free will. Hear this. We worship our own free will. Our power to choose for me, our ability to determine the course of my life. We choose our own comfort and safety. We pull back the lid of the basket. I had a thought this week. I don't have many thoughts, but a thought this week. And Sharon, I'm glad you're back for this. I believe categorically in grace. That grace is not cheap. And sometimes we treat it cheaply. Freely given. Through love. And this is what I'm seeing. And I believe God's shown us. Cheap grace is abusing a gift. It's abusing a gift that we cannot afford to abuse. No, sir. See, real grace is the God of the universe. The Lord of the angel armies, let's say. Completely holy. Completely pure. Stepping into time and stepping into the world. Giving up all that it means to be the God of the universe. That's what he did. That's what he did. And willingly laying down on two pieces of wood. Enduring mockery, torture, humiliation, unspeakable anguish, and even death in my place, in your place. We love grace, but that grace came with a cost. Make no mistake. And when we look at Jesus Christ on the cross, do we see a sin that doesn't matter? That's no big deal. That doesn't matter how we live. Or, church today, do we see a face of such deep, beautiful love and grace for us that we can no longer imagine living in a way that ever takes that love for granted? Ever. Do we see the depth of a love that creates within us a deep desire to return that love, to give him our obedience, our humility, our service for his glory and for his kingdom? Do we see that? I see again how important it is. I might get haunted for saying it this way. I see again how important it is that our lives matter. Our lives matter. That we live all out, unreservedly, relentlessly, wholly for Jesus. You see, these two visions of Zechariah do exactly the same thing. What do? They confront us. They do. They confront us, they challenge us, they force you and I to ask the tough questions. How is my love for Jesus? What does it look like? How is our love one for another? Are we living, listen, are we living lives of sin today, or are we fighting to live lives of holiness under the power of God with the guidance of the Holy Spirit? Would you close your eyes for a minute, church? I'm just going to tie it up here. And that the band are going to come back just right now, because listen to this. Listen to this. This is just for me today. And I don't know if you're catching the essence of this today. This is just too important. This really is, whether we've figured it out, life or death stuff that we're talking about. It either embraces Jesus' death for us and accepts it with gratitude, expressed in a lifetime of obedience, or it makes a total mockery of Jesus' death for us. And ultimately, it impacts not just our lives, but the lives of countless other people who live around us. And I just really felt that the Holy Spirit wanted me to put something out there as a way of response. And we've got to be careful, of course, how we do those things today. So we're going to play a song and be led by Peter for a few minutes. But whether you're at home, watching in today, you're sitting in the congregation here in church, I really felt in my own heart that the Lord wanted to invite every one of us to a renewed pursuit of holiness. Really. Through a renewed love for Jesus. And let me tell you something, as you go on that journey, I know many of us are on that journey, as we do, you know what happens for us? Sin loses its appeal. Sin loses its control over us. And in its place, love, power, holiness, every good gift of God, life abundant, takes place. Becomes rooted in us. So as we're led in this song, and I'm not going to pray at the end here. This is just going to be a personal thing between you and God. But if you're sensing, yeah, and maybe your life is good, maybe you're doing well for God, but maybe you want to increase your journey levels when it comes to purity and holiness. If anything of this has spoke to you today, as we begin to sing, just stand where you are and have a moment with God. And just let you speak to God. Say, God, yes. I hear what the pastor's saying. I sense in my own life by the Holy Spirit, I want to step up even more. Maybe it's for you today. If not, hey, that's cool. That's okay. But maybe it is for someone today or at home. And you can stand at home and lift holy hands to him and say, I just crave and desire intimacy more than ever before. I want that renewal of purity and holiness in my life. So as we sing, I'm going to be quiet now, or shall wrap it on. Be blessed where you are. May this word sink into your heart today. If it's for you, you can respond. If not, we're going to close up really quickly now because it's 10:58. The Lord bless you. Peter.